This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Full eligibility. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Wednesday, April 7, glad you could be with us. And here's what we have for you this hour.
President Biden predicts all adults in the U.S. should be eligible for a COVID vaccine within the next 12 days. Meanwhile, hear what the White House is saying about a vaccine passport.
Prosecutors in the murder trial of former cop Derek Chauvin continue focusing on training guidelines that were not followed.
A Navy medic has been killed by military police at Fort Detrick in Maryland after authorities say he shot two sailors and sped past a checkpoint.
And on a lighter note, the struggle to find ketchup these days.
Particularly with full service restaurants, taverns, bars, those places that, you know, really depend on burgers and fries are having a hard time, in particular, getting Heinz ketchup, which is the leader for ketchup in the U.S.
Heather Haddon at the Wall Street Journal on why ketchup can't catch up with demand. President Biden says that all U.S. adults should be eligible for COVID-19 vaccines by April 19th, speeding up a timeline that he set out last month. Hawaii and Oregon were among the states yesterday that said they will meet the new target, which is 12 days from now. The president put an emphasis on calling for seniors to get vaccinated since they're most vulnerable to severe disease.
What we do now, we're going to determine how many people will save or lose in the month of April and May and June before we get to July 4th.
The pace of vaccinations has increased to an average of 3.1 million doses a day administered over the past week. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said, by the way, the federal government does not support the creation of a so-called vaccine passport or a federal vaccine database, citing privacy reasons. She noted that the private sector was working on ways to create a system to allow vaccinated people to attend events. A medic in the U.S. Navy has been killed after he shot at two sailors in Frederick, Maryland. Authorities identified the suspect as 38-year-old Fantahun Waldesenbet. Police say he entered a business in Riverside Tech Park and opened fire with a rifle. One sailor was in critical condition. The other was released from the hospital. Investigators say Mr. Waldesenbet then drove about 4 miles to Fort Detrick, where he was stationed. Before his vehicle was searched at a security checkpoint, he sped through and was followed by base police. He eventually was stopped in a parking lot where he brandished a rifle at officers who had pursued him and was fatally shot. Frederick Police Lieutenant Andrew Alcorn.
Obviously, backgrounds take a long time. We're still combing through a lot of things. We're here at the suspect's apartment, still going through stuff, collecting information. So as of right now, I'm not aware of any red flags.
Fort Detrick, by the way, is home to the military's flagship biological defense lab, with about 10,000 military personnel and civilians on base. The prosecution in the murder trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin continues to focus on police training and tactics in an effort to show Mr. Chauvin used excessive force in his restraint of George Floyd. Mr. Floyd was handcuffed and face down during his arrest 11 months ago, with Mr. Chauvin kneeling on his neck for more than 9 minutes, while two other officers restrained his back and legs. Mr. Floyd eventually appeared to lose consciousness. On the witness stand yesterday was Sergeant Kerr Yang.
Review and reassess as information becomes available. We continuously review and reassess the situation to see if our technique on de-escalation or other technique is working. If it's not working, then we adjust our technique.
Mr. Chauvin has pleaded not guilty to charges of second and third degree murder and manslaughter. The Hennepin County Medical Examiner ruled Mr. Floyd's death last year a homicide. Mr. Chauvin's defense lawyer says Mr. Floyd died from a combination of a drug overdose and a heart condition. Coming up next, the spin doctors manipulate the new Georgia voting law. When you call a Dell Technologies advisor, you're talking to someone who isn't waiting for their turn to speak, but who actually wants to hear what you have to say. They're focused on you, ready to give advice on everything from laptops to the cloud, and offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Our advisors listen, so you know your small business needs have been heard. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Hey, thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday. The messaging war over new voting laws has led to a rise in exaggerated or misleading claims at a time when trust in elections is already fragile after a contentious 2020 campaign. Brett Samuels, White House reporter at The Hill, says both parties have turned to a new law in Georgia to energize their respective bases. Brett, explain.
Certainly this new voting law that was passed in Georgia late last month and signed into law has sort of become the new basically political cudgel for both parties to talk about voting rights in a way that appeals to their bases, that motivates their own voters. And, you know, what gets lost in it is that I think a lot of people, either the law itself gets mischaracterized, people get sort of an exaggerated view of what's in these laws. And it's sort of an unfortunate development coming on the heels of the 2020 election, which was obviously very contentious. And then we saw for weeks after that, the former president continuing to make these claims that it was stolen and making these unsubstantiated claims. So it's sort of a perilous time for trust in elections and trust in institutions. And voting rights is now just sort of the latest, political battleground, essentially.
Yeah. Boy, so explain some of the messaging that each side is floating.
Yeah, so, Republicans, with this Georgia law in particular, and we're seeing other similar laws crop up in other states, Republicans are the ones pushing these laws, and, a lot of them do restrict access to voting, and experts say that they're targeted at minority communities in particular. It makes it harder for those groups to vote. But Republicans argue that it's about securing the elections and making elections safer, despite the fact that, they're sort of restricting access. So, the actual effect of the law is what they're trying to message around and sort of ignore. And Democrats, on the flip side, I think it's fair to say that some of the messaging around the law from Democrats has been a bit hyperbolic at times. President Biden has compared the Georgia law to Jim Crow on steroids. Stacey Abrams has used similar language. And President Biden has, mischaracterized a couple aspects of this Georgia law, one in particular where he has referenced, polls closing at 5 p.m. before people get off work.
Yeah.
And while that was proposed in an early version of the law, that's not in the final version. So both sides have sort of, either used some clever language or misleading language or whatever you want to call it, and that just sort of further muddies the waters, I think.
Wow. We're speaking with Brett Samuels, White House reporter at The Hill. His piece is called War Over Voting Laws Further Corrodes Trust in Elections. Any feel for what consumers are saying at this point in terms of what the reaction has been?
Yeah, well, so, there was a poll that just came out that I think showed that a plurality of people do actually support the Georgia law. Not a majority, but, more than seem to disapprove of it initially. But I think, we're seeing the backlash on the ground from companies, Major League Baseball obviously moving the All-Star game out of the Braves' home stadium, other companies now taking a stand against this law, saying they don't approve of it. And, I think we're just going to kind of continue to see this sort of push and pull because, as I said, other states, Texas and other states, are Florida is another one, considering similar laws to a degree that, would implement some similar restrictions on voting or overhaul their election systems in the wake of last November's election. So, I think Georgia is sort of, it's sort of the launching point, I guess, for what's going to be, I think, an ongoing battle about these laws. And we're going to see, pressure on companies, pressure on politicians to speak out,
yeah,
pressure from Republicans for them to stick up for themselves and so on. So I think this is sort of just the beginning of an ongoing fight over this.
Thanks, Brett. Brett Samuels, White House reporter at The Hill. On a related note, the mayor of Atlanta issued an executive order yesterday that directs the city's chief equity officer to implement a series of actions to mitigate the impact of the new election law, like focusing on voter education and staff training to help Atlanta residents with information on the new law. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A parade of Minneapolis police officers rejecting a former officer's actions in restraining George Floyd continued at his murder trial yesterday. Lieutenant Johnny Mercil became the latest member of the force to take the stand as part of an effort by prosecutors to dismantle the argument that Derek Chauvin was doing what he was trained to do when he put his knee on George Floyd's neck.
If you're trying to control somebody, might be a low level of force than if you're trying to get them in handcuffs and they're fighting. So you want to use the lowest level of force possible in order to meet those objectives.
According to testimony and records, Chauvin took a 40-hour course on how to recognize people in crisis and how to use de-escalation techniques to calm them down.
Number two.
Two sailors were wounded in a shooting spree at an industrial park in Frederick, Maryland yesterday before the suspect was fatally shot at a nearby military installation. The suspect, identified as a 38-year-old Navy medic, entered a naval-related business and opened fire. Brigadier General Michael Talley.
He was pursued immediately by the Fort Detrick Quick Reaction Force. They were able to stop him in a parking lot.
Two sailors were injured. One is in critical condition. The other was released from the hospital.
Number three.
President Biden says he's bumping up his deadline by 2 weeks for states to make all adults eligible for coronavirus vaccines. But he warned that the nation is not yet out of the woods.
The vaccination program is saving tens of thousands of lives, but the pandemic remains dangerous.
Biden notes that new variants of the virus are spreading and moving quickly. Florida authorities have lifted an evacuation order for more than 300 homes and businesses that were forced out over the weekend after an uncontrolled release of wastewater from Manatee County's Piney Point Reservoir. Officials say the reservoir continues to leak, but the water escaping is being offset by a pumping effort. One of the few copies of the comic book that introduced Superman to the world has sold for a Superman-type price. The issue of Action Comics No. 1 went for $3.25 million in a private sale. The comic, published in 1938, told readers about how Superman came to Earth from another planet.
Jeez, comic books were never my thing growing up, for whatever reason.
No.
And apparently it has cost me dearly.
Yes. If you had a few of these, you'd be a rich man.
Thanks, Jen. Coming up next, the shortage of ketchup.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Glad you could spend some time with us. Supply chain problems are reaching into a far corner of the business universe, and that's ketchup packets. Heather Haddon, reporter at the Wall Street Journal, says after enduring a year of closures, employee safety fears, and start-stop openings, many American restaurants are now facing a nationwide ketchup shortage. Heather, what's going on?
So the pandemic has changed so much about supply chains, and including for ketchup. And this is particular for restaurants. So when the pandemic hit, so many people were eating at home, and big ketchup manufacturers like Kraft, Heinz, really had to prioritize those at-home customers as restaurants were shut down. Now restaurants are starting to reopen again, and it's hard to just change things around so quickly. So particularly the full service restaurants, taverns, bars, those places that, you know, really depend on burgers and fries are having a hard time, in particular getting Heinz ketchup, which is the leader for ketchup in the U.S. And, you know, for these restaurants, it's important to them. Customers really want Heinz ketchup with their fries. But yeah, it's either there's been shortages or it's been very expensive or they've had to change how they dispense ketchup. So it's just one of those things that starts to eat at some of these restaurants in addition to everything else they've had to deal with.
Jeez. All right. So as you track this down the supply chain, what is it? Is it tomatoes from Central California?
No, it's really more about, again, this switch from retail to restaurant sales. So, you know, Kraft and other manufacturers have had to prioritize their grocery store customers during this when restaurants were slow, and now the restaurants are coming back. They have to pivot back, and that's not something they can do so quickly. So Kraft has said they're adding more lines that will be dedicated to restaurants and other food service customers to try to help this situation they're in. But for now, we are in this kind of tricky point where, restaurants are struggling to keep it in stock. And so having to go to other alternatives, you know, looking at maybe a more generic brand, looking at different ways to dispense it, you know, getting a bulk packaging of ketchup and then putting it in little cups. So they're trying to find workarounds, but it's been a bit of a pickle.
Wow. Are generic ketchups easier to find?
Seems like that's the case. I mean, some, you know, store managers have just gone out and gone to like a Costco or another warehouse store and just taken, you know, retail bottles from the shelf and bought it there because it's, you know, if their distributor can't get it to them or there's some backlog that they need something in a pinch. So it seems like that has worked, you know, in some cases, but that's not, you know, how you want to really use your general manager's time.
Yeah. We're speaking with Heather Haddon, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her piece is called "The New Shortage: Ketchup Can't Catch Up." So, if you're a restaurant, do you tell your customers as you bring them ketchup, "Hey, this isn't our usual Heinz stuff. We have a substitute."
Well, this one tavern I interviewed in Denver is doing that because he's such a Heinz fan that he, you know, apologizing to customers when they have had shortages just to say, "I'm sorry, this is not." Yeah, exactly. Not our usual, but we're so glad you're back.
Thanks, Heather. Heather Haddon, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. In the sport of business, we're all players. And with the game always changing, you need to be versatile. So does your wardrobe. You want both style and comfort to look as good as you feel inside the office or out. That's what Cuts Clothing is all about. Cuts Clothing keeps you sharp wherever the game takes you, from the boardroom to the bar to the gym. How? They reinvented men's clothing, starting with the t-shirt. Their Pika Tri-Blend fabric is buttery soft, wrinkle-free, and keeps its shape. Everything I've worn from Cuts is next-level comfort. Their polos, hoodies, and crew sweatshirts, all classics, made modern with custom-engineered fabrics you have to wear to believe. So versatile, you'll never need to take them off, and so comfortable, you won't want to. It's not just the lifestyle. It's not just clothing. It's office leisure apparel for the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing.
Bringing the world to your door every morning. This is America's First News, This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Wednesday, April 7. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. President Biden says all U.S. adults should be eligible for a COVID vaccine in 12 days. Prosecutors in the Derek Chauvin murder trial continue with witnesses discussing police training. Evacuation order lifted in Florida after officials stabilize a contaminated reservoir. State Department says it's talking with allies about making a statement regarding China's human rights abuses during next year's Winter Olympics in Beijing. More Social Security recipients getting stimulus money today, and the Oklahoma airport workers that rescued a lost toy. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. Dell Technologies advisors listen to your small business needs so they can provide you with tailored tech solutions powered by Intel vPro platform. Call today at 877-ASK-DELL. Which is the better investment, owning a home or owning stocks? If you ask most Americans, chances are they prefer homes. Jacob Passy, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch, has a look at a new study from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Jacob, what are some findings?
They asked survey participants a range of questions about, you know, how they viewed the housing market, what they, you know, what made them feel optimistic about housing, things like that, and they've tracked it over time. So they've tracked it over the course of the pandemic, really. So, you know, between, you know, last February to October to this February, generally speaking, people have maintained their positive outlook on the housing market. So as of February 2021, over 90% of the survey's respondents said that they would prefer to own their own home where they live rather than investing in the stock market. And over half also said that they would prefer to own a rental property and be a landlord than invest in the stock market. So it shows, you know, how strong that kind of American dream of home ownership really is.
Okay, so when they talk about investing in homes, you referenced rental properties, I get that. But they're talking about what then? Trying to pay off a home as fast as possible instead of sending extra money, say, into a 401k or an IRA?
I think the idea here is, you know, where you build your wealth. So one of the largest asset classes we know is housing, housing stock in this country. For a lot of households, obviously, one of their biggest sources of wealth is going to be the wealth they accumulate through home equity by paying off a mortgage and then seeing their, you know, home's value rise over time. And there's an extent to which Americans are kind of on the right track here because housing is a pretty stable investment. There's been research that looked at how home prices have performed versus the stock market, you know, over time during bear markets, things like that. And with the exception of the Great Recession, which obviously is a big exception, generally speaking, home prices continue to rise even when the stock market is down. Mm. And that was true last year when the stock market cratered in the first quarter of last year as COVID cases were rising. Home prices continued to increase even with, you know, the pause in real estate activity last spring. And obviously the stock market has rebounded since then. But it shows that, you know, that people view housing as a very stable investment, and it is a very stable investment, at least compared to, you know, the stock market.
We're speaking with Jacob Passy, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. His story is called Americans Think It's Better to Invest in Housing Than the Stock Market. What would financial experts say here? Is this a good idea?
I mean, I don't think that a financial expert would say owning a home is necessarily a bad idea. I do think that, you know, for anyone considering buying a home, they need to, you know, evaluate, you know, what the situation is in their market. Certain markets across the country right now, home prices are extremely high. And, you know, there is some risk when that happens that you could be buying at the top of the market. Yeah. I mean, home prices do come down from time to time. And there are, you know, I think the way that the financial experts refer to it as idiosyncratic risk. You know, there's going to be weird, you know, nuances to the local market, and all real estate is local. So in a city like, you know, San Francisco, there are going to be different risks than in Toledo, Ohio.
Right. How does this break down by gender and education?
So women are much more positive on housing than men. And folks who don't have a college degree are also more positive on housing. I think, you know, that kind of speaks to, you know, that I think from a very young age, you are taught the lessons of homeownership often. And, you know, it's viewed as kind of this American ideal that you're, you know, the white picket fence and all that. And so then at the same time, you know, there's always talk of the risk in stock markets. And, you know, I think that the legacy of the burn that some people felt from the Great Recession and even last year, you know, is going to be, you know, felt for a while. And so there's, I think, a lack of trust in the stock market vis-a-vis the housing market. And that played out in this survey. The survey respondents pointed to that stability of home prices and the lack of volatility in the housing market as their main reason for why they preferred to own a home than to own stock.
Thanks, Jacob. Jacob Passy, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. Coming up next, the latest do's and don'ts for airplane travel once on board. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness? We're all dealing with a lot right now. I'm sure you feel the same kind of added stress I do. Then you should know about BetterHelp. BetterHelp isn't a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. Start communicating in under 48 hours. Schedule weekly or monthly phone or video sessions or whatever works for you. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. That's why there's a special offer for This Morning with Gordon Deal listeners. 10% off your first month. Visit BetterHelp.com/Gordon. That's BetterHelp.com/Gordon. And join the over 1 million people who've taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp, they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. That's 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday. It's time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, it's easy to think that millionaire athletes and their families don't get as invested in professional sports as we do. But that's not necessarily the case, especially for their kids. For example, take Kaiden Randall, the young son of New York Knicks star Julius Randall. Kaiden has become a celebrity in his own right the past 24 hours after his reaction to a Knicks loss that was posted online. The Knicks held tough against the loaded Brooklyn Nets on Monday night, but ultimately lost the intercity rivalry game 114-112, and Kaiden wasn't happy. Randall's wife Kendra posted reaction from the preschooler on Instagram.
You hate who?
The those he hates are the images of Nets players painted on the concourse walls at Barclays Center that he was pointing at. Kaiden's emotional reaction obviously struck a chord with other frustrated Knicks fans who've watched the clip over 720,000 times. Mm.
Many Knicks fans have been crying like Kaiden for decades now.
Yes.
Because it is one of the worst run sports organizations in the world.
It has been, but they are finally some light perhaps at the end of the tunnel, Gordon. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but there's a little bit of light.
If the season ended today, the Knicks would be in the playoffs.
Right. And that's
currently in the number 7 spot.
Right.
Remarkable.
Of course, you know, unfortunately, while that's happening, you know, Brooklyn has now sort of, you know, leaped over them and is, you know, the favorite in the East now. So they're still not even the best team in town at this point.
Right.
And with more of us starting to travel again, it's a good time to review the do's and don'ts. And that doesn't stop once you make it through security and health screenings and finally make it to your seat. For example, if you're the type to snooze on a flight and you have a window seat, you definitely don't want to lean your head against the window or cabin wall for support. A flight attendant told Reader's Digest that if you held up a black light to the interior of the plane, you would be petrified at what you saw. Another common area to watch out for are the tray tables. Flight attendants on Reddit talked about how infrequently those are cleaned and how they've regularly seen people change babies on them, they've seen people bleed on them, and people get sick on them. Bottom line seems to be bring your own wipes and do a thorough wipe down of all the surfaces you'll be touching while in flight.
I thought we were super clean these days on airplanes.
Yeah, I don't know. COVID concerns and all. Yeah,
right?
I don't know. I don't know if we've stepped up. You know, again, they're worried about everybody keeping their masks on, and that seems to be where the focus is right now. I don't know how much more these surfaces are clean maybe than they used to be pre-pandemic. I haven't flown, you know, since before the pandemic, so I really don't know for sure.
I'm definitely one of those guys who can fall asleep against the window.
Yeah, I've done that before.
Yeah. Yeah. But I get those body spasms.
Okay.
I think it largely when I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
So my hands are fly up in the air, my arms or hands fly up in the air kind of randomly, and my legs will like, kick out. So sometimes I have to apologize to the person in front of me.
Yeah.
If my tray is down and my arms fly up, you know, I wound up smashing the tray against the seat in front of me.
Yeah, you sound like a lot of fun to sit next to you on a flight.
I'm dangerous.
I'm going to go in the back of the plane.
And I always kind of suspect that the wall, the cabin wall, is dirty when I put my head against it.
Yeah.
I don't care.
We all know this.
I'm not licking it. Yes. I'm not wiping my hands on it and then licking my fingers.
There are certain things we all accept in this world.
Exactly.
That the plane is dirty and we just have to deal with it.
13 minutes now in front of the hour.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. Scammers are constantly evolving and using new tactics. No matter the scam, a new study from the Better Business Bureau shows that an increasing number of them rely on victims sending them gift cards as payments. For example, last fall, a woman transferred $800 in American Express gift cards to purchase a puppy. The shipping company that was supposed to deliver her new dog requested payment for an air-conditioned crate, so the woman sent $1,200 more in gift cards. Those payments still weren't enough. The scammers told the woman one of the cards had no balance and asked that she send another one. When she refused, they stopped all communication with her. Losses reported to the BBB scam tracker for these scams nearly tripled between 2017 and 2020. Next hour, by the way, we'll identify the red flags to watch for. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
An expert witness is expected to return to a Minneapolis courtroom today in the murder trial of former police officer Derek Chauvin to face more questions about why he determined Chauvin's use of force on George Floyd was excessive. Sergeant Jody Steiger, a Los Angeles police officer, said the initial use of force was appropriate, but once Floyd was on the ground, they should have de-escalated the situation. Witness Nicole McKenzie, who works in medical support services for the police department, also testified yesterday.
There is a possibility that somebody could be in respiratory distress and still being able to verbalize it. Just because they're speaking doesn't mean they're breathing adequately.
Number two.
Governor Gavin Newsom has signaled an end to more than a year of closures in California, announcing the nation's most populated state plans to lift most coronavirus restrictions on businesses and workplaces June 15th.
It is incumbent upon all of us not to announce mission accomplished, not to put down our guard, but to continue that vigilance that got us where we are today.
Newsom cautioned that California will reopen more widely only if vaccine supply is sufficient and hospitalization rates stay stable and low.
Number three.
Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz reportedly sought a blanket pardon for himself and others during the waning weeks of the Trump administration. The New York Times reports Gaetz asked the White House for preemptive pardons for himself and unidentified allies for any crimes they may have committed. The Times said it was unclear at the time whether Gaetz knew the Justice Department had already opened a probe into his actions. The congressman is being investigated by the Justice Department over a former sexual relationship. Arkansas lawmakers have made the state the first to ban gender-confirming treatments and surgery for transgender youth, enacting the prohibition over the governor's objections. The Republican-controlled House and Senate voted to override GOP Governor Asa Hutchinson's veto of the measure. Opponents vow to sue to block the ban before it takes effect this summer. Here's an interesting pairing: audio giant Sonos and Swedish furniture chain IKEA. The pair has released a line of speakers that double as household items. There's a speaker that works as a bookshelf and another that's also a lamp. The next step, wall art.
Yikes. You have to put that together, too? Like the IKEA furniture? I don't want to be putting together speaker-related things. Thanks, Jen. Coming up next, airport staff recover a child's lost toy. When you call a Dell Technologies advisor, you're talking to someone who isn't waiting for their turn to speak, but who actually wants to hear what you have to say. They're focused on you, ready to give advice on everything from laptops to the cloud, and offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Our advisors listen, so you know your small business needs have been heard. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for being with us. A lost dragon toy has been found at an airport in Oklahoma City and will be returned to its young owner. Staff found the stuffed dragon toy, which has been affectionately named Scale, at Will Rogers World Airport and documented its adventures at the Travel Hub. 7 captioned photos of Scale were shared to the airport's Facebook page. The Facebook post said, about a week ago, a family traveled to OKC for a visit. Upon arrival, a little girl left behind her best friend named Scale the Dragon. The family realized Scale was missing once they had left Will Rogers Airport. Mom called, was able to get a hold of airport employees who were successful in tracking down Scale. Friendly airport staff took Scale to different parts of the airport, including a parking lot bench, an airport express shuttle window, a wheelchair, and a vending machine. Scale's adventure concluded with a photo of the dragon sitting atop of an administrative office desk with a Will Rogers World Airport pin and other souvenirs. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.